Hello, this is Rachi Lerner speaking with you today from OU Radio. Our topic for today is spiritual healing. This is part two. We're often, as humans, colored by things that we do not understand. In fact, we're often in the grip of our own passions. We hear about a hot-blooded murder or something that happens when a person is in the grip of emotion. We understand what they mean by that. We understand that people can be carried away by their own needs, by their own desires, by their own feelings. And the grip of our passion is such that we do not always see things very clearly. And so what we must do when we address the topic of spiritual healing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is we must ask that God help us to clarify what our needs are. I mean, we begin with ourselves, of course, and we try in our own way to go ahead and to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to ask of ourselves to be clear and concise and non-self-referential in our needs and be able to go ahead and to sort of approach God from the point of view of being truly humble. So prior to petitioning God, we have to ensure that our requests are appropriate and meaningful. And David HaMelech recognizes this, and he says to us, ask God to help you. Don't be a fool. If you can't figure out how to get past your own biases, ask God. And this is what it says in Perek Yud, in Psalm 10, verses 17 and 18, Yud Zayin and Yud Chet. Ta'avat anavim shamata Hashem. The desire of the humble you have heard, Hashem. Tachin libam takshiv aznecha. Guide their heart and be attentive. Lishpot yasom vadach. Bal yosif od larot enosh min haaretz. To champion the orphan and the downtrodden so that the man of violence shall no longer spread terror about him from the earth. Let's take a look at that verse together again. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. Guide their heart and be attentive. To champion the orphan and the downtrodden, so that the man of violence shall no longer spread terror about him from the earth. What is it saying here? It is telling us a fundamental truth, that Hashem hears the desires of those who are truly humble, who have made the service of God their life work. What does that mean? That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to those who have learned how to put themselves in the proper perspective, who have learned through soul-searching how to make themselves humble before God. Hatznea lechet im Elokecha, it says in Micha, walk humbly with God, meaning that we recognize our worth, but we also recognize the enormous gulf that exists between our worth and God's worth. Walk humbly before God, walk humbly with God, be humble. God will hear the desire. Ta'avat anavim shamata. God, in fact, has heard the desire of those who are humble. And then what does it say? Tachin libam. Prepare their hearts. Takshiv aznecha. And be attentive. What is it telling us? It's telling us exactly what I was alluding to before. That we need to have our hearts prepared to approach God. Again, as humans, we are often not in full control of our hearts. Our feelings take us where they want, and we kind of humbly and passively follow. It is true that before we petition God, we have to ask Hashem. We have to sort of make sure, ensure that our requests are meaningful and appropriate. And how do we know where to start? So maybe there's a clue in this psukim about where to begin the search to ask God. And it begins by asking for someone other than self, Lishpot Yasom Vadach, to champion the orphan and the downtrodden. What does that mean? We ask that God advocate on behalf of the oppressed, that he advocate on behalf of the orphaned. We ask that Hashem stop the man of violence in his tracks so that he no longer spreads terror about him on the earth. We ask that Hashem stop the man of violence because the man of violence believes that it is he and not God who is the master of the universe. It is he who believes that with violence one rules, one gets his way by putting forth a campaign of violence. But with the cessation of terror comes an opportunity for the healing of those most wounded. When we begin our petition to God by asking for the orphaned and the downtrodden, then we are preparing our hearts, because then we are seeing outside of self. When we look to someone else, when we begin the journey of spiritual healing, we need to be careful not to run the risk of becoming too self-absorbed, of becoming entirely too self-involved. We need to be able to take our gaze outward, because by doing good to others, we bring good to ourselves. we go ahead and we take ourselves out of the grip of our emotions, out of the grip of our self-interest, and move ourselves into the grip of a place where we can touch God and where we can be touched by God in return. Which brings us to the question, how does one keep a connection going with Hashem? When one is aware through soul searching that one has sinned and strayed from the path of Torah, how does one reconnect? How do you heal the breach between yourself and God? How do you fix it? You know, it's funny. We always talk about children as coming without a manual. Well, our relationship with God also comes without an instruction manual. And we must find a way to reconnect to our Creator without a manual. So David gives us a two-step plan. He says a person has to be aware of the error of his ways before he can even repent. And we know that to be true. We know one of the steps of tshuva is to be modal emet, is to admit that one has done wrong. To admit and to see and to do a cheshbon hanefesh, to do this soul searching and say, I am aware of what I have done wrong. And then when one does that, one has to have real harata, real regret. One must acutely mourn his estrangement from God and crave the return of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in his life. And David gives voice to this sentiment when he says in Perek Mem Dalet, in chapter 44, verse 16, Pasuk Tet Zayin, he says the following, Kol hayom klimati negdi uboshet panai kisatni. All day long, my humiliation is before me, and the shame of my face covers me. Meaning, my humiliation at my estrangement from God is in front of me all the time, every single day. I never, ever feel comfortable with it. All day long, my humiliation is before me, and the shame of my face covers me. One does not feel good when one is feeling in a state of shame, in a state of pain, in a state of disconnection from God. And what is it that David yearns for? He yearns for the reconnection, the reinstatement of his relationship with God. And what happened then? In that place, what did David say? He said in Perek Tetzayin Pasuk Chet 16:8, he said the following, Shiviti Hashem linegdi tamid. I have set God before me always. In place of estrangements, I want God's nearness. In place of my humiliation and shame, I want, I crave, says David, Hashem's healing presence. And after David acknowledges his own need for Hashem, after he talks about the personal need, the need to have Hashem close and nearby, David asks that Hashem make his presence more visible in the world at large, so that he may more readily perceive him. And if we look at Perek Mem Dalet, at Psalm 44, verses 25 and 27, we see that. Lama panecha tastir. Why do you conceal your face, God? Tishkach anyenu v'lachatzenu. Why do you forget our affliction and our oppression? Ki shacha la'afar nafshenu. For bow down to the dust is our soul. Zafka la'aretz bitnenu. Clinging to the earth is our belly. Pasuk Chav Zayin, Kuma Ezrata Lanu, Ufidenu Laman Chastecha. Arise, come to our aid, and redeem us for the sake of your kindness. What is he saying? He's saying, don't conceal your face anymore, God. If I am to be healed, if I am to get rid of my humiliation and my shame, which covers me, is before me all the time, I need you, God, to open the door, to unconceal your face, to allow me to approach you so that spiritual healing can take place. Kuma, arise, Hashem, ezrata lanu, assist us, uftenu lama'an shemecha, and redeem us for the sake of your kindness, lama'an chastecha. We have hit rock bottom. We need God to lend us a hand. And if we do not merit to be redeemed at the moment, then do it, Hashem, lema'an chastecha, for the sake of your kindness, because God's kindness is limitless. It is without end. And it is such an interesting thing, because where does healing start? Healing actually starts, oddly enough, with illness. We heal from an illness. We begin with the disconnect in order to arrive at the connect. And David HaMelech gives us this beautiful insight in Perek Lamed in Psalm 30, verse 2. Aromimcha Hashem ki dilitani, bilo simachta ayvayli. I will exalt you, Hashem, for you have upheld me, dilitani, and not let my foes rejoice over me. The Radak, a commentator on Tanakh, comments that the word dilisani or dilitani is used to describe either a downtrodden or an uplifted state. So what the Radak is saying is that this word dilisani is, in a sense, almost paradoxical. It's describing two opposite states, the state of downtroddenness and the state of upliftedness. Which is it? How can it be that one word can embody two opposite states, that of being defeated and that of being uplifted? So the Sfas Emes, another commentary, explains this paradox by teaching that the downtrodden state of the Jewish people is actually part of their uplifting. What does David HaMelech say in Psalm 116, verse 6? He says the following: when I was brought low, Hashem delivered me. What does that mean? When I was brought low, when I was in a state of defeat, Hashem raised me up. The Pasuk says the following to us: Daloti, the same word, Dili, from the word Dili, Vili Yahoshia, I was brought down, Hashem saved me. In other words, when I'm down is when the beginning of the up starts. The word dilisani, its root is dili, which means a bucket. And just as you lower a bucket into the well to bring up the water, so too are we, so to speak, lowered into the well. We are subject to distress prior to being lifted and restored. The defeated state that David had was the cause of his salvation. He was being lowered into the well just prior to being lifted and raised from it. While circumstances may seem grim and hopeless, we must, as David did before us, perceive that salvation is right around the corner. We need to see that the down is the beginning of the up. What goes down must come up. It is different than what goes up must come down. It's the exact reverse. We are saying that it is the down prior to the lifting. Rav Hirsch gives the other example of the runner. When a person sees the runner bent over, he sees a man who looks like he's burdened, not able to move. But he doesn't realize that that's the stance of the runner right before he shoots out of the gate to become fully upright and run the race. We are much in the same vein. We are down right before we get up again and we shoot out from the gate and we win the race. David HaMelech makes the same point in a separate psalm, in Psalm 60, verse 4. What does he say? Here, Ashta Eretz Pitzamta, Rifa Shivareha Kimata. You have made the land quake, you have split it. Heal the fragments for it totters. What is David saying here? In this verse, David is drawing attention to the fact that it is Hashem who controls the very course of nature. It is He who made the land quake, who splits it. It is Hashem who is responsible for earthquakes and other natural disasters. At the same time, it is God who has the unique capacity to restore the world to its former state, to heal the brokenness. That's why David HaMelech says, Rifa Shivareha Kimata, heal its fragments, for it totters. David appeals to God and says, make it heal, God, for you are responsible for it. You have the unique capacity to take broken pieces and put them together again, to restore Humpty Dumpty to his former self. And why is it that the earth requires such restoration and healing? It is because the earth is faltering. It says, heal the fragment, for it totters. The earth is tottering on the brink of destruction. The Malbim views this verse through the lens of cause and effect, and he says the following: it is the very fact of the splitting of the earth, our downfall, which leads again to our restoration and our rejuvenation, R-E-J-E-W, our re-emergence as stronger, healthier, spiritually more grounded Jews. Before the healing can take place, we need to bottom out. We need to recognize our human limitations. And we need to look at ourselves again, as we've talked about over and over again, with a very clear and candid self-appraisal. And we need to say, we've fallen. And having fallen, having bottomed out, we have no choice but to ascend. And with the healing granted by Hashem, we can regroup and we can unite in His service. Rav Tzvi Hirsch Weinrib, who's the executive director of the OU, quoted in his shir on Tisha B'Av the following psukim from Micha. V'ani b'Hashem atzapeh. Yet I will look to Hashem. Ochila le'loke yish'i. I will wait for the God who saves me. Yishma'eni elokai. My God will hear me. Al tismichi ayvaiti li. Do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. Ki nafalti kamti. Though I have fallen, I rise again. Ki eshev b'choshech Hashem arli. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord is my light. And Rabbi Weinrib quoted the Yalkut Shmoni on this pasuk. Ilulei nafalti lo kamti. Ilulei yashavti b'choshech lo haya arli. Had I not fallen, I would not be getting up. And had I not sat in darkness, there would be no light for me. Hashem would not be a light for me. Again, reinforcing the idea that we've just established, that the healing, the illness that precedes the healing, is the beginning of the healing. When we are ill, when we have fallen, when we are in darkness, we are at the moment just preceding the dawning of the light. We are at the moment that just is prior to the beginning of the healing period. Throughout Sefer Tehillim, Zavi talks about, openly and candidly, about his discouragement. He writes about his feelings of depression. He talks about how difficult it must be to go through life and to once again fight for connection with God. But David HaMelech is not a person to sit there and passively accept illness, which is exactly the template for all of us. He is not content to wallow in his depression. He continually reaches out to God for assistance in dealing with his own difficulties. But he takes responsibility as well. He takes ownership of his own emotional state and reaction. It is not enough to rely on God. One cannot be somech al hanes, rely on miracles. It is in fact up to us to muster the will to overcome our dejection and our dispiritedness. And David HaMelech says in Perek Mem Bet, Pasuk Yud Bet, Ma tishtochachi nafshi u ma tehemi alai. Why are you downcast, my soul, and why are you disturbed on my account? Hochili le'lokim, hope to God. Ki od odenu yishuot panai ve'lokai. For I will yet thank him for the salvations of my countenance and because he is my God. What is he saying? He says, why are you downcast, my soul? Why are you so defeated? He gives his physical self a pep talk. He's saying, what reason do you have? And then he says, because what do you know? You know that your answer is right there. David's answer to his soul is contained in the next part of the verse. Hochili le'lokim, hope to Hashem, for yet I will thank him, for he is my deliverance, the light of my countenance, and my God. David is reminding us and himself to take the long-term view, to move in the direction of God. He tells his soul not to seek salvation from him, from David, because David is human and therefore limited. Instead, Hochili le'lokim, hope to God, God who is limitless, omnipotent, who delivers him from difficulties. This God will banish the light. It will give him light once again. It will enlighten him. It will grant him light. He is deliverance. He is Yeshuot Panai, the salvations of my countenance. He will grant me light. He will always be my God. We too need to be refocused with awareness of the ubiquity of God, of God's presence everywhere, of his healing light and his radiance, and of his ongoing deliverance, comes an easing of the tensions and the stressors that are characteristic of life. And with that comes our full spiritual healing.